Let's rise up on our feet, please.
As we close our eyes, I'll raise up our two hands to the Lord and sing this song loud and clear. Holy Spirit, be my comforter. Holy Spirit, take control. Take control. Hallelujah. As I walk along the way, the way. Sing it again loud and clear. Holy Spirit, be my comforter. Holy Spirit, take control. Take control. Hallelujah. As I walk along the way, the way is now. Always, Holy Spirit, be my Holy Spirit, move me now. Hallelujah. Make my life whole again. Oh yes, Spirit, move over me. Spirit, move over me. Blessed Holy Spirit, oh yes, move me now. Hallelujah, my life all again. Oh yes, Spirit, move over me. Spirit, move over me. Come and reign, come and reign. Hallelujah, come and reign in my life, Jesus, Almighty God, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nissi. Do something new. My life, something new in my life, do something new today, today, today. Hallelujah, do something great in my life, something marvelous in my life, do something great in my life. We cannot see. Yes, even wisdom is my God. What a strength for each needed. Yes, even our will. Even sing it again loud and clear. God may I bless you to be moving. What's the way we gotta see? If you may I strength for each new day, where we may our way.
made impossibility possible. He made impossibility possible.
Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nissi, Jehovah Shammai.
He made impossibility possible. He made impossibility possible.
Raise up your right hand to the heavenlies, beloved. Every conspiracy against my destiny in the heavenlies, scatter by fire in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. I said prayer, I want you to pray before you sit down now. And I want you to pray it with all your heart. Especially as the Lord has declared that this is a month of miracle bombardment. You now declare loud and clear. Every enemy of my complete breakthrough. We're not talking about partial, no. Complete. Every enemy of my complete breakthrough. This is your month of disaster. Can you say it with holy anger? Therefore, in the name of Jesus, every enemy of my complete breakthrough, this is your month of disaster. Yes, declare it. Something must happen. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Our Lord and our God, we thank you for the power in the blood of Jesus. We thank you because you are the victorious one. We thank you for your mighty hand that is upon us. What a mighty God we serve. We thank you because you love us. We praise your name for your loving kindness. Accept our thanks in Jesus' name. This morning, open our understanding. That which you have promised to do here this day, do it by fire. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Let's have a seat. God bless you. This morning we are looking at what I call the afflictions of the righteous. The afflictions of the righteous. And we'll read very quickly from Psalm 34. Psalm 34. The afflictions of the righteous. Psalm 34, verse 19 to 20. Strange scriptures, really. Psalm 34, from 19 to 20. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. So straight away we see the first characteristic of the afflictions of the righteous. The Bible says there will be many. It didn't say few. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. But thank God for that wonderful word. But the Lord delivered him out of some of them. No. Out of them all. Not only that, he kept all his bones. Not one of them is broken. That is, the Lord will not allow the affliction that will break your bones to come upon your life. the afflictions of the righteous. Affliction has 12 characteristics. Number one, it causes pain. Number two, it causes suffering. Number three, it knocks people about. Number four, it harasses people. Number five, it knocks people down. Number six, it weakens people. Affliction has 12 characteristics. One, it causes pain. Two, it causes suffering. Three, it knocks people about. Four, it harasses. Five, it knocks down. Six, it weakens. Seven, it troubles. And eight, it burdens. Put a burden on the person. Number nine, it causes distress. 10, it oppresses. 11, it torments. And 12, it smites. So affliction is not enjoyable at all. And the affliction is such a very terrible thing that the Bible says affliction should not rise again. But Psalm 34 verse 19 has these strange words. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. The question is, but why? Why the righteous? Why should the Bible not say many are the afflictions of the wicked? Why should the righteous have any affliction at all? Let alone saying the afflictions will now be many. These are mysteries of Scripture. They are mysteries in the hands of our God. Look at the book of Genesis chapter 39. Genesis chapter 39, verse 23. Somebody was in prison. Joseph was in prison. Genesis 39:23 says this. Genesis 39:23 says, the keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. Here was Joseph in prison, and the Bible was saying the Lord was with him. If that were so, why did the Lord not disallow him from going to jail in the first place? Why did God not send thunder and fire to destroy Mr. and Mrs. Potiphar, who organized to get him into jail? These are mysteries of Scripture. We're talking about the afflictions of the righteous. Look at the book of Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah chapter 1. Look at what it says to a young man who is just starting his ministry. Imagine somebody who has been called to become an evangelist, a pastor, a great man of God, and the first information you will get is in what is Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 19. Jeremiah 1:19. This was the opening introduction to Jeremiah's ministry. And they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee. For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee. In the beginning of the ministry of Jeremiah, the Lord informed him that he was in for a fight. How can he say he will deliver him and he refused to prevent the fight? Why didn't he prevent the fight from taking place? Why should he allow the fight to start? Then he said, I will fight, they will not defeat you. What a way to introduce a man to his ministry. Joseph found himself in the same condition. God was with him, yet things kept going from bad to worse. In fact, if you read the life of Joseph very well, it will seem to you as if there was nothing in his daily experience that looked like God was with him at all. We're talking about afflictions of the righteous. In Acts of Apostles chapter 27, Acts chapter 27, some of these questions may have been puzzling some of our minds. Acts chapter 23. Paul had been on the sea. They had suffered shipwreck. There was trouble. They had thrown their luggages into the sea. Everybody was troubled. They could refuse to eat. They couldn't sleep. There was problem. But in Acts chapter 27 verse 23, we're now reading strange verses. So, for there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And look, God hath given them all that sail with thee. If there had been such an angel that has been standing by him, why didn't the angel prevent him from becoming a prisoner in the first place? Where was this angel when the ship was suffered a wreck? Where was the angel when they missed their way and the waves and the storms took them to where they didn't want to go? The afflictions of the righteous. You might have been crying loud and clear too. I don't know what is happening to me. I don't understand what is going on. It will appear as if the more I pray, the worse things become. Maybe you have been crying loud and clear like that. The Bible says, many are the afflictions of the righteous. This is why the psalmist cried out in Psalm 10 verse 1, which is a very lamentable cry. In Psalm 10 verse 1, he cried out, why standest thou afar off, O Lord? Why hardest thou thyself in times of trouble? Beloved, righteous people will go through adversity. But thank God for that great word. But the Lord delivered him out of them all. No matter how many deliverance that you have gone through, whatever affliction it is, eventually at the end of the day, complete deliverance is guaranteed. Therefore, we all need to cry out like the psalmist. Instead of running helter-skelter or going to the camp of your enemies to seek for help, instead of running from one prophet to the other, instead of allowing those who don't have access to your destiny, access to your head, to lay hands on you, instead of going to witches who call themselves prophets, instead of swallowing what you have refused to swallow many years ago, you need to cry out to the Lord like the psalmist. Like he cried out again in Psalm 71. And I want you to open your Bible to that place, because I want you to read it with the loudest voice you can gather. We all need to cry out like this psalmist. Because when you cry out like this, the Christ tears the heavens open and it brings results. Sisters, are we there? Brothers, are we there? Can we read it loud and clear? Oh God, be not far from me. Oh my God, make haste for my help. Can you shout it louder than that, beloved? Shout it louder than that. That's right. It is time for us to cry out, oh my God, make haste for my help. Can you say that loud and clear again? Look at Psalm 91. Look at what it says again. A very, very interesting scripture. Again, it's talking about the afflictions of the righteous. Because the whole of Psalm 91 is directed to the righteous. It's not for unbelievers, it's for the righteous. Psalm 91 verse 15. Very interesting scripture. It says, he shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. This passage tells us that we are never alone in our trouble. Your parents might have abandoned you now. Maybe your husband even ran away. And things are completely upside down. You are never alone. No matter how deserted you may feel, no matter how terrible the information may sound in your ears, no matter how many people are laughing at you, you have a God who has decreed that you will eventually laugh last. So I will be with him in trouble, he says. I will deliver him. So what is God saying? God is saying, whenever you are in trouble, he himself will be inside the trouble. That is, God cannot be free from the trouble until you are free. This is the mystery of the afflictions of the righteous. God was watching when the three Hebrew children were thrown into the fire, but he was with them inside the trouble.
What are we saying now? When the righteous gets into trouble, God also gets into the trouble with him. When God gets into the trouble with the righteous, the trouble will now get into trouble because God has gotten into it. And again in scripture, again and again, when it comes to the life of the righteous, the battle does not depend on your small size or the great and mighty size of the enemy, but the battle depends on the greater and mightier size of our God. It doesn't matter. The cities may be defended with high walls, and the wall of Jericho that is fighting against them may be very tall. Our God shall bring them down. The great size does not determine the battle. The bigger the head of the Goliath, the easier it is to aim at the forehead. The Bible says, if God be for us, who can be against us? Who? How big can the person be? This size 11, size 12, size 30, size 40, size 50. Who? Is it Goliath? Is it Herod? Is it Pharaoh? Who? If God be for us. This is the mystery of the warfare of the righteous. And as many people that qualify as righteous here this morning, the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Then all other things, they are automatic additions. If you are righteous, you are living the kind of life God wants you to live, and you are here this morning, whatsoever the enemy is bringing against you now, it's a temporary thing. It shall pass away. Let's go into some deep scripture. In Genesis chapter 50, we see a prophecy by Joseph. Genesis chapter 50, verse 24. Now listen very carefully so you can get the message inside of this one. I pray that God will open your eyes, you will understand this as it regards to you. Genesis 50, 24. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I die, and God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land unto the land which he swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry my bones from hence. Joseph made that prophecy that take my bones away from here. The prophecy did not happen until 430 years later. And when Moses was going to leave the land of Egypt, in Exodus 13:19, let's look at what Brother Moses did when he wanted to leave the land of Egypt. Exodus 13:19. And Moses took what? Bones of Joseph with him. For he had straightly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you. He shall carry up my bones away hence from you. Moses took the bones. By the time you now turn to your New Testament, in Hebrews chapter 11, Hebrews chapter 11 verse 22, Hebrews 11, 22 says, Hebrews 11, 22. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel, and gave commandment concerning his bones. Listen carefully, beloved. 12 men, one from each tribe of Israel, they were to take their turns in carrying this Egyptian coffin all their journeys through the wilderness. In that blazing sun, as they were traveling, they carried the coffin. As they got to the promised land, they still carried the coffin containing the bones of the man of God. The bones of Joseph, who had prophesied that they will leave Egypt. For 40 years, they went through the hardship of carrying this coffin with a dead man's bones. It was not an easy task. But what they did not realize was they were carrying prophetic bones. The righteous carry their personal prophetic bones. They carry their personal prophetic bones. Just like the Israelites carried their own prophetic bones in the wilderness. By the time you look deep into your life, your visions, your dreams, a prophetic bone is there telling you that all shall be well. He said, carry my bones from hence. That is 430 years. He had told them that they will leave the place and that they will get to the promised land. So it means that Pharaoh can rage as much as he wanted to rage. Pharaoh can scream that he would be the one who would determine their destiny. Pharaoh can even insult their God. Does not matter. Because there is a coffin filled with bones in their hands that says Pharaoh will fail. Because whatever happens, that coffin must arrive at the promised land. Bondage of thousands of years may be as hard as they want, but that bone will tell you that, well, that bondage will die. The time Pharaoh was pursuing them and they were all afraid, the bones they were carrying should have told them that, well, this is, you are all fearful liars. This bone in your hand, let any power pursue you, we get to the promised land. So that coffin of bones was like their insurance certificate. Let the rebels take up their stones, and they wanted to stone them at that time. The bones of Joseph said that they will not locate their target. Let all the complainers speak all kinds of defeat. Let all the complainers speak death and discouragement. Now there is a coffin they carry which speaks of life, which says, come what may, they will arrive at that promise and they will overcome. The bones were a sign, a prophetic witness that God will bring them into the land of promise. Your own bone of Joseph is with you in your troubles, telling you, one way or the other, you will pull through. Peter was facing Jesus. Jesus said, Peter, Simon, Satan desires to have you and to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith fails not. That is, as far as the faith of Peter does not fail, Peter will have no problem. Can you shout this loud and clear? My faith will not fail. In the name of Jesus. As far as his faith did not fail, everything was going to be okay for Peter. So anytime Peter ran into trouble, he remembered his own prophetic book that Jesus said, everything will be okay. Jesus said, he has prayed for me. And he held on to that one. And he finished his course with joy. Look deep into your life, beloved. One way or the other, the Lord will have given you a prophetic bone, which tells you that all these powers that are raging against you shall eventually be defeated. The Israelites really had no cause to worry in the wilderness. The bones they were carrying is a sign that they were arrived where God wanted them. And they arrived there. They arrived there. Because that was a prophetic bone. So the righteous in his affliction has a prophetic bone that he carries. Tell him that all shall be well. As far as your faith does not fail. If the faith fails, there is a problem. The only time the righteous could have serious headache, they're twofold. When the faith fails, I will go to number two now. So you can see various characteristics of the afflictions of the righteous. Let's look at more characteristics of the afflictions of the righteous. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. 2 Corinthians 4, 17. Perhaps you have been wasting your time crying and weeping and sorrowing. The Bible says, many are the afflictions of the righteous. But the Bible says, you shall be delivered from them all. Because he says, he's with you inside that trouble. And because God is with you inside the trouble, then the trouble is in trouble. Because God will deal with it. If you believe that, shout amen. 2 Corinthians 4:17 says, but our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. So the affliction of the righteous, although may look heavy in the eyes of men, the Bible says they are light. Number two, the Bible says they are short. Because it says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. The night is not forever. It's only a few hours of the day. They are short. They are light. They are short. Then they are the means of grace. The affliction of the righteous. The afflictions of the righteous They are means of divine correction. The psalmist says, before I was afflicted, I had gone astray. So, but now, I'm in the right path. That is, affliction of the righteous is a means of divine correction, designed to inspire patience and submission on our part. Praise the Lord. But, a great but, there is one kind of condition where the righteous may have trouble. That is the area where we need to pray seriously. Look at Psalm 11, verse 3. The first condition where the righteous may have serious trouble is if the faith fails. Once the fuel finishes inside the vehicle is going nowhere. The second situation is what we are going to read in Psalm 11, verse 3. Psalm 11, 3 says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The second condition under which the righteous may have some trouble is when there are things in the root, things in the foundation, which has not been dealt with. You say you are a pastor. Your great-grandfather was a wizard. Your grandfather was a herbalist. Your own father was a lodge member. Your mother was a small witch. And now you are a pastor. This is the foundation from which you have come. And now you are praying. Of course you will have trouble until you deal with that foundation. Because every day they will be dropping the oil of the priesthood of darkness on your head. And the person will not know where the oil is coming from. If he pastors a church, there will be trouble. He will get into serious error because he had not dealt with that situation. There are many families, beloved, where there are existing patterns and conditions. Many years ago, a girl came to us from this campus here, University of Lagos, and she cried bitterly. The man of God, I do not want to steal again. I don't want to steal again. She had everything. They bought her underwear, everything for her from London. They buy her things from very expensive shops. But yet, she will go and steal the materials belonging to the poor ones. We now sat her down. And talking to her was a revelation. The father was an armed robber who had already been executed. His senior brother was already in jail. She had come from a family of thieves. Now, if that kind of girl gets born again, and you make her treasurer of the church, and she had not dealt with that foundation, she will have trouble. If the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? What can the righteous do? There are so many cases like this, terrible cases that we deal with. Some of them will sound very strange to you. I've had a person come to me for prayers, and he said, anytime he sees wicked things happening, that is his happiest moment. When terrible things are happening, people are dying, be very happy. But when things are going well, very sad. I've seen cases of people, whenever they see blood shed, they will be rejoicing. And when they've not shed blood, they will not be happy. I know that you have, many of you have listened to the faith message. That if any man be in Christ, he has become a new creature. All things are passed away. All things have become new. But what is funny is that many people, they want to interpret it spiritually, they don't want to interpret it physically. If you were owing your landlord before you got born again, and you now declare that all things are passing away, landlord, I'm not paying, what will happen? They'll throw you out. If you fail your exam before you got born again, and you run back to the lecture, say, lecture, I'm born again, and the Bible says all things are passed away. Now I want to pass. The man will chase you out. The stark reality, beloved, is that these things that I'm saying, they are there. Faith does not deny facts. Faith does not say there is no mountain. Faith does not deny the existence of mountains. But faith says to the mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea. Many of us need to shout that loud and clear today. And the mountains should be removed. Many have a foundation of evil covenant. And covenant can be really terrible. God made a covenant with Abraham. Say, circumcise all your sons must be circumcised. Say, if you don't circumcise them, I'll bring them before me. I kill them. If you obey this, you shall be blessed above all nations of the earth. And there were blessings for Abraham. God himself is a covenant keeping God. Moses got out of Egypt, had two children, had two sons, and was coming back to Israel. He had listened to the call of God. I was now coming in. And God wanted to kill the son because the boy was not circumcised. So Moses had to use stone to do circumcision very quickly. If not, that child would have died. It's the same thing if your parents had entered covenant on your behalf. And that covenant is raging in your foundation. The forces will fight you. But today, the Bible says, you shall be delivered from them all. Right from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of God suffered violence, and the violent took it by force. He didn't say by negotiation, not by bargaining. You don't negotiate. No bargaining. It is by force. This morning, there are prayers we're going to pray here. And this is really where we're going. The afflictions of the righteous has a terminating point. It has a burial date. It has the obituary already written. It is just for you to declare that your God should make haste and perform certain things. Rise up on your feet. All eyes closed. We're only going to pray 7 prayer points. And as we're praying those prayer points, many things will be happening all over this place. I want to appeal to you that in all the prayers you are going to pray here today, do it from the heart, from the deepness of your heart. Know for sure that your enemy does not have the last say. Your parents do not have the last say. That doctor does not have the last say. There is a higher law that operates above them. But before we go into these foundation purging prayers, and to these affliction destroying prayers, a lot will depend on how aggressively you sing the following songs. Sing it from your heart. And sing it 3 times. Just 3 times. It's enough for each one. Sing it from your heart. All these songs have to do about our weapon of victory. The Bible says they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. There is power. There is power. There is power in the blood of Jesus. 3 times now. 3 times. Let's start again. There is power. There is power. There is power in the blood of Jesus. There is power. There is power in the blood of Jesus. There is power mighty in the blood. There is power mighty in the blood. Jesus Christ, there is power mighty in the blood. In the blood. Oh, in the blood. Oh, in the blood. One more time. In the blood. In the blood. Oh, in the blood. The blood of Jesus Christ. There is power mighty in the blood. And now louder than anyone close to you, I plead the blood. The blood of Jesus Christ, I plead the blood of Jesus Christ, I plead the blood, blood of Jesus Christ, I plead the blood, the blood. One more time, I plead the blood The blood of Jesus, the blood that conquers. The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. Blood that conquers.
There is power, power, wonder working power in the blood.
La la, there is power, power.
There is power,
power, power, power. Oh, la la.
In the blood.
One more time.
That is power. That is power. Power. Wonder walking power. In the blood.
In the blood. Of the Lamb. That is power. Power.
Wonder walking power. In the precious blood. The blood of Jesus,
the blood of Jesus sets me free from sin and sorrow.
The blood of Jesus says,
oh, the blood of Jesus,
the blood of Jesus sets me
free. The blood of Jesus
from sin and sorrow.
There is power, there is power, there is power in the blood. Oh, that is power, that is victory, that is power in the blood.
That is power, that is power, that is power in the blood.
That is victory, that is victory, that is victory in the blood.
There is power in the blood.
The blood of Jesus has set me free, has set me free, has set me free.
The blood of Jesus has set me free, has set me free.
Oh, he has set me
free. Hallelujah, blood.
Hallelujah,
Lord.
Be free, as let me free. Oh, yes, set me free.
We are now ready. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony. Sisters, say this after me loud and clear.
My glory arise from the graveyard of backwardness. Shine in the name of Jesus. Let the eyes of the great God of backwardness shine in the name of Jesus. Let there be a shining
Shine. Continue. Yes, make you there again. That your enemies will regret. In Jesus' name we pray.
That is number one. Thank you, Jesus. Look at what is happening. Look at what is happening. Yes. If you are in this service this morning and you have noticed an evil pattern in your family, maybe marriages don't work. People don't get married. But they are not happy there. Poverty is the trademark. What is not supposed to happen is happening. Maybe even that your village recognize your family for a particular evil pattern. This is your hour now to break free. Everybody shout this after me loud and clear. Collective captivity of my father's house. Death in the name of Jesus. Deal with the collective captivity in the name of Jesus. Master Pokoya Roshentera Bakalabaraba. Collective captivity of my father's house. Your time is up. Your time is up. Die. Mapela Bokopanda Center. Repair the Kayabo Center. Yes. Don't negotiate. This is not the time to negotiate. I refuse to follow any evil pattern. In the name of Jesus. Yes. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, the Lord is taking you out. The Lord is taking you out of the evil umbrella. Yes, he's taking you out of the evil umbrella. That was number two. We go to number three. This number three, this is what will happen. Mark these words. And begin to remember when the testimonies begin to come. As we pray this third one, there are people here. They are supposed to be enjoying the wealth of the Gentiles. As a result of the prayers now, scholarships shall come their way. As a result of this prayer now, evil medical reports shall be cancelled. Scarcity or lack of helpers shall be melted away. The dreams of death shall go back to the sender. And financial distress shall be disgraced. This next prayer. So every assembly of affliction gathered against my life, scatter in the name of Jesus. The assembly of affliction, command them to scatter in the name of Jesus. Yes. Mapa da kasta kaya ba shanta. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you, Jesus. There are two persons here, beloved. One of them is a uniform kind of person. One thing will happen, second thing will happen, third things will happen. And that your occultic boss shall be overthrown. And in a miraculous shift, he will take over his position. Number four.
Blood of Jesus.
Cause confusion. In the blood bank of witchcraft. Pray this one well. Can I hear the sister shouting it loud and clear? Sister, shout it louder than this. Masukaporabo Santa. Brothers, shout it loud and clear. In the name of Jesus. Let there be confusion in our blood bank. Let there be confusion in the blood bank, in the blood bank. Yes, continue, continue, continue. Be released from the grip of any power that wants to disgrace you. Be released from that grip, be released from that grip. In Jesus' name we pray. As a sister in this meeting, you have been crying because the enemy has stolen your husband. But by the time you get home from this meeting, the enemy holding the man will have released him. Come and share the testimony with us, because it is already so. Thank you, Jesus. Number five. Now, if you don't know how to pray in anger, pray this one in anger. Every satanic trademark on my family line. Yeah! In the name of Jesus, deal with the satanic trademark. Master Tekaya Boshentia. Yes, 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 yes. Open your mouth, open your mouth. Don't be afraid. Deal with the satanic trademark. I destroy the trademark in the name of Jesus. I destroy the trademark in the name of Jesus. I destroy the trademark in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Making fantastic progress. Number six now. The power of night afflictions. Everybody say this with only anger. Your time is up. Death! In the name of Jesus. The power of night affliction. The power of night affliction. Your time is up. Your time is up. Your time is up. Your time is up. Down. In the name of Jesus. Master Chakaya Boshantara Bokola Baraba. Yes. In Jesus' name we pray. The last one now. The last one. There are some persons in this meeting. I thank God that He brought you here this morning. Why? Because your virtue has been exchanged many, many years back. When you were a little girl or a little boy, it's been taken away. You can see others enjoying what you are supposed to be enjoying. And you know that God has deposited something in you better than they. I want the anger of God to boil up in your spirit as you pray this final one with all your power. The Bible says, better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. Aha. Say this with only boiling anger. Every spiritual robber.
in my foundation. In the name of Jesus. Deliver. In my foundation. Your time is up. Your time is up. Your time is up. Yes. Your time is up. Deliver the foundation.
Lift your hand.
In Jesus' name we pray.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Many wonderful things have happened here this month. But before we leave this place, we need to pray what I call the sealing prayer. So you put the seal of God upon all the prayers you have offered here. All eyes closed.
Say, this month, cooperate with my destiny.
In the name of Jesus. Command the man to cooperate with your destiny. In Jesus' name we pray. Say, I see my miracle. With the blood of Jesus. Open your mouth and pray like that.
Thank you, Jesus.
In Jesus' name we pray. Stretch your two hands forward now. Wonderful God, I commit your children unto your holy hand. It shall be well with you. No weapon formed against you or your family shall prosper. As a result of the service you have attended here this morning, every day of this month for you shall be testimony. In the name of Jesus, the Lord will bless you from Zion and make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Your going in, your coming out shall be blessed. Wherever you go, the favor of God shall bombard your life. Where doors have closed for others, doors shall open unto you. And people shall know that you serve the living God. And wherever God is being challenged in your life, your God shall answer by fire. He shall answer by fire. He shall answer by fire. He shall answer by fire. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Let us share the grace in fellowship.